all of those happy, joyful, queer folks, stand up. We're celebrating you. And it feels good. It always feels good to celebrate Pride Month, Lita.
Yeah, it's the beginning of the summer. Everyone's out there with their rainbow flags, super happy. We've had quite a few celebrations already happening, right? Gala, yeah. Pride and Diversity Center, who's the main organization that works with the LGBTQ community here in Slo County, has been putting together amazing events. You went to the Pride at the plaza.
And it was amazing. Yeah, it was great. Huge shout out to Gala and all the volunteers, because not only are they celebrating Pride in Slo proper, which is a huge success, but they're actually taking it and they're celebrating it, extending it throughout San Luis Obispo County, which also touching some of the areas that we may not see so much celebration, like Atascadero, which is actually like a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, as allies, Rita and I may be straight, but we don't hate. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, it's about making sure that we're able to support our friends and the queer community, Rita, because I think there is no other powerful expression than to show up authentically as to who you are, and love is love.
Yeah, I think right now there's a lot to celebrate, but there's a lot to make sure that we also protect. You know, the trans community has been a target, from policies to
school boards
to book bannings to not being able to get their gender affirming care that they need. So huge shout out also to Planned Parenthood for being the, I think one of the only few, if not the one, gender confirming services provider here in the Central Coast of California, which is insane. You would think there would be way more here in California of all states and Central Coast, but we don't. So shout out to Planned Parenthood if you can. Donate to Planned Parenthood. Join, volunteer. They're always looking for people to help them out. There's still a lot of people that harass people going into Planned Parenthood centers. So if you want to just support those people that are just trying to get, you know, reproductive healthcare, just volunteer. You can be there at the door, protect them, make sure that nothing happens. Or you can also be a volunteer for Planned Parenthood Central Coast Action Fund, and they support candidates that are going to run for office that are going to be out there fighting for gender affirming services and for reproductive healthcare.
Yeah, we want to make sure everyone is safe, Rita. And, you know, at the end of the day, I never understand the hate that comes from people. It's like, you know, it's really unfortunate that it's 2024, Rita, and we're still seeing hate that happens to the queer community.
Yeah.
And I saw this really lame meme this weekend of, well, every day it should be, like, because of straight people, you have Pride Month. Like, you wouldn't be born if you didn't have straight people. And it's one of those things that it's quite unfortunate that people really want to take up space and quote-unquote, like, prove something, right?
Yeah.
And so we just want to make sure that people know that Chicas Políticas, we support the queer community, and we are allies to the queer community, which means that we're here to elevate queer voices.
Yes. So happy Pride to everyone. Hey. Stay safe. Keep on celebrating. Your joy is much, much needed.
Yes.
Stay safe. Protect each other. I had actually a great conversation yesterday. I went to Meadow Park at Pride in the Park. And I had a great conversation with someone who has moved here from West Virginia 12 years ago. And I moved here from Peru 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're just sharing how our experiences have been. And this person was sharing just their queer journey and how this person grew up with role models that pretty much forbid it, the thought of a queer identity. And, you know, it was like, you have to be male, and this is what being male looks like. And so just the limitations that idea puts on everyone.
Shattered glass everywhere.
Yeah, right.
That shattered glass, and in continuation with that shattered glass, Mexico has voted, and the people have spoken, and Mexico has made history to have their first woman president.
Yeah, that's you must be following this way more than me. I just saw the headlines today, but
you know, I haven't been following it as closely as I should. And I think it's like, I'm really excited for Claudia Sheinbaum, who is the first leader in the nation more than 200 years of independence being president. And it's a big deal, obviously, yeah. being a woman, shattering that glass. Obviously, she was a really solid candidate. She's also going to be the first Jewish Mexican president, which is something that has never happened before. And it just kind of shows the diversity of Mexico.
Yeah.
And I think I met with a little bit of skepticism, not because she's a woman, and I think that has to be made really clear, mm-hmm. but because, you know, Mexico, and it pains me, and I say this with a lot of love, Mexico is so rich in culture and resources and abilities. It's just unfortunate that the environment that is Mexico, I feel, does not really lead for progress in our country, which is really unfortunate. And I think we need to be mindful as the country and really the world sets expectations on this woman.
Yeah, I think we do that a lot, where we put people on a pedestal and we, of course, let's celebrate. This is big. This is big, period. We have to be careful, though, when we put people on a pedestal and we make them the identity around a movement, right? Mm-hmm. We put everything on this person. When this person does something bad, because the systems either are not there to support it, or that person just, it's not fair to put everything on their shoulders, then everyone's going to come back and say, see, this is why we didn't choose women to be president. See, this is the problem. And so we just have to be careful how we talk about it. Let's celebrate for sure. But let's also be realistic about the systems that we currently have in place. And it just keeps happening, right? We keep seeing, like, I'm going to mention it, like, Vice President Kamala Harris, we celebrated it. I celebrated myself the first that we had the first woman vice president. But the systems in the U.S., just like in Mexico, are just not there to support what that really could have meant. And I honestly don't think that Kamala will, I might be wrong, but from the outside, it doesn't seem like she was interested in changing much on the vice president role. It seems like it has just followed the same type of vice presidency that we have seen in the past.
And I think it's important to note that too, Rita, that when we are pushing for progress, a shift, you know, sometimes the systems that be are not really meant for that change.
Yeah.
It's, and that's one of my biggest takeaways in doing work in the community, and especially in politics, is the optics of things and that illusion of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that it was amazing to have the first Black Asian vice president, right? Mm-hmm. I think that serves a purpose.
Yeah.
But 100%. When we look at what progress or transformative policy, things like that, you know, here's a woman that clearly is very, very strong,
mm-hmm.
but then once in that position of power, we're not really seeing that big shift as maybe we had hoped.
Yeah.
And so I think it's to be mindful that we may have people in power in those titles, which is very mirroring to what we're saying about Mexico's first female president,
mm-hmm.
Which also, like, worries me too, Rita, that, you know, for example, Mexico is a very macho, toxic, masculine country, right?
Yeah.
Femicide, and for those that may not be familiar with femicide, is Mexico has one of the largest numbers of women being killed in the country.
Yeah.
Women who were talking about students, young girls, married women that just don't make it home, and that never gets addressed.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, she ran away with her boyfriend, or she was doing bad things. And that really worries me to have a woman in that position with probably, especially when we see in third world countries or Latino American countries too, that What does it mean to be a woman in a position of power?
Yeah. And we cannot judge or put expectations with American eyes and U.S. eyes on a president that is a Latin American president, right? The culture is different. The issues are different. Mm-hmm. The funding is different. The level of
corruption.
Violence, corruption that they're going to have to deal with is different. So all my friends out there that are celebrating and like trying to tie it to like being the savior of the next generation. Let's hold the horses for a little bit. And I'm very hopeful she has experience on climate change, which is something that we really need. But definitely let's not put anybody, like nobody, no one that you can think of, don't put them on a pedestal. Don't put anybody on a pedestal, because that just does not work out ever.
Yeah. And speaking of women, there are women who have announced that they're running locally. Yeah, there's some exciting news. Women who have taken the charge and said, you know what, I am going to step up.
Yeah.
And
it's June. So they're like, I'm not waiting until September. Yeah. I'm not waiting until fall. I'm like announcing now. I'm working on it now. And women that have been working for it for a long time, actually, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things that is, obviously, I think as women, we always kind of question, are we ready to run?
Yeah.
Are we prepared enough to run?
Yeah.
You know, we need to build our resume more. We need to do this. We need to do that. I'm very happy to share that Chris Beal from Paso Robles has announced she is running for District 1 for City Council, which is really exciting. Chris Beal has a long history of working with the community, being someone that is full of action, that has done amazing things. And so it's really exciting that she announced, especially because we do need someone on City Council with a strong history of also understanding the Latino community, which Chris has that, as well as someone with fresh ideas, someone with a fresh voice.
And I was reading her bio from the news that came out, and I think she was like executive director for like something like 23 years of a nonprofit that worked on sustainability in the wine industry. It's like, how could you be more prepared to represent Paso Robles in the City Council?
And not just that, with Chris, not only did she have that role, but the things that she was able to accomplish were recognized internationally, where she actually went to different countries and was teaching what they were able to accomplish.
Whoa.
Until this day, it's being taught.
What?
Because in the reality of when you're looking at something like, for example, Paso Robles, that thrives on the agriculture industry, on the wine industry, is we need to be mindful that this goes beyond our hometown, right? How are we making those connections internationally? How are we becoming sustainable? And I think that's one of the positive strengths that she brings to the table.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So Chris Beal running for City Council District 1 in Paso Robles here in San Luis County. And then over the weekend, I believe also Erica Stewart announced her run for City Mayor in San Luis Obispo City. So that'll be really great too. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I got to go to her campaign launch, and it was quite exciting to see the amount of women that showed up for her, and women of all different colors, which was amazing. I think that just comes to show Mayor Erica Stewart as a unified woman who, she's always, personally for me, I feel like I can say so many things about Erica because she has been such an encourager in my journey. And she's always just so intentional, and she's very genuine, and what you see is what you get with her. And I thought it was really interesting, Rita, that while she was speaking, she shared with the audience that someone had asked her, what is something that keeps you up at night? What is that one thing that, you know, that you just struggle to fall asleep because you're thinking about? And for her, it's trying to figure out how to unite our community, how to unite diversity, how to, and mind you, she has not had it easy. There have been attacks as interruptions coming from white supremacist groups.
Yeah.
And so fear is an actual thing.
Yeah.
And so,
and we're not exaggerating when we say white supremacist group have attacked her. We have all heard the type of calls and the type of words being used towards the mayor.
And I think for her, like, I see her as such a trailblazer. She's the first Black woman to be in that position. She may be actually the first Black person in general to be a mayor of San Luis Obispo. She's definitely a trailblazer and just leading the way for many of us, which is really exciting. And she's amazing at what she does.
Yeah, she's doing a great job. So I really hope that the city of San Luis Obispo, which now I'm a resident of, so I'll be voting for her for sure, comes out to support her. I think it's a no-brainer. And last, well, maybe last, you might have another one, but last candidate I just found out that's running, also a woman, is Cassie D. She is running for mayor of Grover Beach. And honestly, I don't know if I was just capturing Cassie's energy in the last couple of weeks, but every time I see her post on social media, like supporting small businesses, participating at events, fundraising for nonprofits, going out there and helping the community, I've always thought, is she, like, why aren't we paying her to be the mayor? Because she already does the work. Like, every time I keep thinking, and guess what? She's running for mayor of Grover Beach.
She's running for mayor, which is, Cassie is a special,
candidate human.
For me.
Special human in general.
Special human in the sense that not only has she taken on the role of, hey, I'm going to run.
Yeah.
But she's also young.
She's young.
Which is like very, it speaks to me because it's like a lot, many times we see people that wait until their later years to run. So here's Cassie saying, no, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to run.
Yeah.
And number two is, which I think speaks so loudly about her, is that she was pretty much already acting like a city council member, right?
Yeah.
She was already in that phase of leadership, showing up. Supporting, is extremely diverse.
Yeah,
reaching out. There's times where I reached out to her and she followed through, and she's been very supportive to the things that I've been asking for and or need clarity on. And so to me, it's like many times I've seen candidates run when they haven't showed that side yet.
Yeah,
but here's someone who's already like pretty much acting.
Yeah.
Acting in that power of a city council member. All she needs is for y'all to vote her in and make it official.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about her youth, her energy. I think I read it last night, and I sent her a message. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Because I'm honestly really, really excited. We need those faces. We need those new faces in politics. So
someone with energy. We just need newness. We need people with positive energy that have that grit, tenacity.
Yeah, and I think that is something that you can say about all the three candidates that we just mentioned: Chris Beal, Eric Stewart, Cassie D. They all have that tenacity in them and new ideas and just the energy to get it done.
And women.
And they're women. And they just happen to be women. So, it's way different candidates than what we've seen the last 50 years, right?
And we're definitely...
We're really tired of old grumpy men just running with the audacity of asking for a vote when they haven't done anything for their community.
Oh, man. And check out the receipts, right? We don't take that lightly. Look at what people have done for the community. There's a lot of important subjects right now and things that are happening, whether it's San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, AG, I mean, and in between and far apart. There's a lot of issues that are happening locally, especially in the last 4 years that we can look back on and say when times were hard, who stepped up, when times were hard, who was there, especially for as people of color, to Rita, who were those allies, who were those people, which I can say for Chris Beal, she stepped in the gap. You know, she was very much participating in the school closure and paid her dues and was there and cares and knows about the numbers, which is really powerful. Which, too, it's either you can step up to a position and grow into it, or you can build yourself up and learn as you go and then eventually run, right?
Yeah.
So
regardless it's like any job. Yeah. You want a job, start doing it. And guess what? You're going to get that job.
And that's what's really exciting, too, is that there is a network, an amazing network of women here in Slo County. That's one of the pluses about our community, that there is a network of women. And a huge shout out to the Women of Color Network, opportunities and things like that happening through the Slo Diversity Coalition. Because I have such a long name. Like, am I going to butcher it? But, you know, there's a lot of great synergy happening with women, Rita.
Yeah, I mean, we just mentioned three candidates. They just happen to be North County, Slo, and South County.
Isn't that amazing?
It's pretty amazing.
Covering the bases.
And these were, like, the top of mind candidates. Of course, there's so many other candidates running that we're very interested in. Excited to give a shout out in every one of our episodes. So, stay listening. Thank you for those that are listening. Thank you for finding us out in the wild and recognizing our voices.
I know, it's always... It's,
shout out to Darcy.
Yes, and everyone that's listening to us, which is also very humbling too, Rita, yeah. Because we've been doing this now for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rita and I are friends, so it's like you're literally, one of the best compliments that I always get is we're listening to friends talking about politics, yeah. And having a good time, and that's literally what it is. It's us just pushing record, and that's just us talking. So thank you for everyone joining us in this Chicas Políticas podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Now, to close, so 34?
34 counts from Kelsey.
I'm not following much because I'm just so disappointed about everything.
There's a lot of disappointment happening. Yeah. I think we definitely don't fall short on the disappointment. What gets really interesting, though, is that I think for many of us, including myself, Rita, the justice system feels questionable in this country.
Yeah.
And,
say the least. Yeah, to put it mildly.
And so... what's really interesting, what we're talking about is last week, the big topic was Donald Trump, former president of the U.S., found guilty on 34 counts. And I was actually surprised that he was found guilty on all 34 counts by unanimous decision.
Yeah, shout out to the jury.
And this is a jury that's also comprised of his peers. So I think that says something, Rita.
Yeah.
The fact that I thought that he may be found guilty on one or two counts because here's a powerful white man with money and all of these things. But I think Donald Trump that day took a big L, and I'm sure he was not happy about it. And that gives me some sort of peace that even though bureaucracy runs slow and our justice system runs slow, that there is no person above the law, including the former president.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to know that if you if you falsify checks, invoices, property numbers, like, yeah, that something is gonna happen to you at some point. I just didn't think that it would happen to Donald Trump since he's been for so long avoiding any type of justice.
But you know what, though, Rita? I also feel like this is just a prime example of, you may want to call it karma. We can call it, you know, at some point, people's behavior catches up to them. And this is my takeaway. Mm-hmm. I feel Trump has always been like this for a very long time. I think this is how he does his business.
Yeah.
I think this is how he treats people. I think this is how he manipulates power to go his way. Mm-hmm. He pays people. And that's basically what he was doing. Hush money with paying his former lover, Stormy Daniels.
I would say lovers. I don't think Stormy would appreciate that label. I think she would be like, I'm sorry, Cindy. Yeah, but
they had something going on, even if it was transactional. What's really unfortunate, Rita, is people wanting to put a label of the conspiracy or the witch hunt that this was a political agenda driven by the Democrats or driven by people who hate Donald Trump. No, the proof is in the pudding. This man committed crimes, right? And at the end of the day, I think some people feel that, okay, well, he's not really going to do time.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, there might be some hope here. Martha Stewart, who was a first-time offender, did 5 months of jail.
Yeah.
So there could be a chance that this man may do some sort of something. But I think at the end of the day, someone like Donald Trump, this is a huge jab to his ego.
Yeah, but this is where I get cynical about it. Because, yes, this happened. But then the Trump campaign has said that they have raised $52 million after the verdict.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is the Trump campaign saying it. So that could be $2 million and not $52 million. But this is the thing with Trump followers, is that whenever they see this man, especially when he kind of sees... seem as the victim or being targeted, they just hold on to, like,
but isn't that what people do, like him? Isn't that this has been his whole thing, that he is the victim, this is a witch hunt, they're coming after me, they didn't look at the evidence, they wouldn't call out my witnesses, this is what's a manipulation. And that's the thing where I think, Rita, the country's so divided in the sense of who wants to believe the truth, because we live in a society that most people feel that their opinion is a fact.
Yeah.
That is not true.
Yeah.
And if you look at the facts, when this man has gone to trial, and we look at the reality that he has been found guilty on all 34 counts, mm-hmm. that to me restores some sort of faith. What's really unfortunate is here's a man that can't help who he is, right? He's capitalizing on an opportunity and stealing people, stealing their money.
Yeah.
Right? This money is going to go towards paying his legal fees. He's paying his attorneys.
His next hush.
Right. But once again, Rita, I think we're going to start seeing the beginning of the downfall of Donald Trump. He can't help who he is.
I hope so.
He cannot help who he is. And this is what I mean about what you do eventually comes back to you. This man's history is catching up to him. This is the same man that, if y'all are familiar with the Central Park Five, the five young men, he took an ad.
Yeah.
He took an ad on the newspaper.
My gosh, yeah.
Going after these young boys.
Yeah, I hope you're not listening to this on a Monday at 9 a.m. like I am, because my blood is just going up.
But I
hate this guy so much.
No, but it's catching up to him. And I really do feel that now people are watching him. And I'm sure he screwed over lots of people in business.
Every time I went to New York to visit, I think I've mentioned this in this podcast. And I get in the taxi. Every single taxi driver has a story of how Trump just took their money. Like his family's money, their company's money. This guy just has screwed up everyone in New York. That's why he moved to Florida.
He's a fraud. He's a fraud. And so I think things are catching up to him. I think, obviously, people are talking, well, he's a first-time offender. I think he was an offender multiple times back in history, but now he's being held accountable. I think this is not the first time he's going to get in trouble for something like this. Moving forward. I think eventually something will happen to this man. And I know people feel frustrated that he's still going to run for president. Yeah. And we have yet to see. Maybe he will win the election from jail. I don't know. Anything is possible, guys. It's painful. I'm not going to cry. But wow, not on my bingo card. This is fucking crazy. It's crazy, guys.
You just gave me a visual that I was not ready for.
It's crazy.
What if it's November and he gets elected president and he's in jail?
Mind you, we're making all sorts of history in the United States, by the way. So we might as well keep that energy going.
Yeah,
right?
I don't even know what's possible anymore. Yeah. Well,
let's leave on a happy note. What's something positive we can leave with?
Something positive. I don't know. I'm in like a bad spot.
In a bad spot.
Well, there's a ceasefire deal that might work. Hopefully, hopefully there's some progress. Probably no one is happy about the deal, but I'm really, really hopeful that we put an end to the bloodshed immediately. So hopefully that goes through and we can see justice being restored. Hopefully we just can't keep having what we're having right now. So.
And huge shout out to everyone speaking up, everyone, you know, using their platforms, you know, shining light to a big issue. Rita, more of a positive man. My heart just sank. My dude, not funny. I'm laughing so I don't cry.
You said you just made a hand gesture, face, like, get me out of this
world. Oh, man, I'm positive, guys. No, it's a lot going on, guys.
It's summer starting. It's Pride Month.
It's Pride Month. On a happy note, shout out to all the graduates, whether it's high school, college, medical school, law school, all the graduates, especially
first generation.
All the DAC kids out there who are living the dream, who are making things happen. It's been really great to see all the reels and posts being shared of first generation Latinos, Latinx graduating. And I just feel like, you know what, like that? That brings me joy. That fills my heart.
Yeah, and I got to talk to so many students are graduating from Cal Poly at the Pride in the Park because they have all those dreams and expectations of this world and they're ready to go out there. I'm just so excited for them.
Yeah, shout out to the young people. Y'all, please get it right. I don't even know what's gonna happen at this point.
I met this queer couple yesterday. One of them graduated from like architecture, the other one from like electrical engineering, and I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy for them. It's just so amazing.
Find the balance. There's some real stuff going on. Follow it. Be active. Put your finger on it and find the joy.
Yeah, and take care of yourself so you can take care of the community. Let's do that.
Okay. All right, that's a positive.
Yay, we did it. We did it. Bye.